Why did the bowling instructor get fired?
I don't know why.
He wasn't a good role model.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Hey there, this is Red Yarn, and you're listening to the Children's Hour.
Well, the other day, I met a little bunny. She said, listen, man, don't you think it's funny how so many folks just want to sit around on moan and moan about what gets them down? You gotta stand right up, you gotta raise your voice, you gotta get up with me and jump for joy. You gotta rise and shine, you gotta make some noise. Oh, dance with freedom and jump, 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 joy. And the other evening, I heard a little bullfrog with scratches singing that sweet love song. Said it don't matter if you're loud or quiet, if you sing your love out, nobody can deny it. You gotta stand right up, you gotta raise your voice, you gotta get up with me and jump for joy. You gotta rise and shine, you gotta make some noise. Oh, dance with freedom and jump, 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 joy. Everybody understands that the tools we need are in our hands. And I hope that everybody across the land can find that something that makes them stand. Clap their hands, do a dance, say yes we can. Stand right up, raise our voice, get up with me and jump for joy. Oh, rise and shine and make some noise. Oh, dance with freedom and jump, 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 a little, little jump, 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 a little, little jump, 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 a little, little jump, 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 jump.
That's Red Yarn, right here on the Children's Hour, with a good reminder that you have the ability to rise and shine and stay positive. I'm Katie Stone, and I'm positively delighted to be with a bunch of kids here at the Sunspot Studio and online. Who's with us today?
Hello, it's Octavia.
Hello, it's Isaac.
Hello, it's Evan.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hello, it's Melissa.
Hi, it's Lucas.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hello, it's Zen.
Well, thanks everyone for being here out there in listener land and here at the studio and on Zoom. Today on the show, we're going to learn about something pretty amazing, petroglyphs. These are ancient rock art or rock designs and carvings that can be found all over the desert southwest in the United States where we live. And there have been petroglyphs discovered worldwide too. They hold up especially well in the arid desert where we live, and today we're going to be going to a secret petroglyph site in northern New Mexico called the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. A few of the kids and I took a field trip to this special and fragile site, and we got to see some of the more than 60,000 documented petroglyphs that are there. And we took a tour with their archaeologist, Jared Roberts, their education coordinator, Sandy Romero, and a volunteer named Judy Chaddock. We're also going to learn from Ranger David Ottaviano with Petroglyph National Monument. That's right here in Albuquerque on the west side of our city and on the west side of the Rio Grande. We're also going to learn from the Tribal Preservation Officer of Acoma Pueblo, Todd Sissons. His ancestors made petroglyphs for thousands of years, and he helps us understand what they mean and the place that they still hold in Native Pueblo culture. There are activities, photos, and more at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. This is Robert Mirabal from the Pueblo of Taos, right here on the Children's Hour. Uncana. Uncana. Ubo huepa. Hesamei. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and with us today on the show is Ranger David. David Ottaviano is from the National Park Service Petroglyph National Monument. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Ranger David.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So I'm just going to start with asking the kids on the crew, what is a petroglyph?
I think it's like a writing made by one of the Pueblo people.
I think petroglyphs are something made out of, well, they could have used different tools to make it.
I think they're writing on walls, right? From a really long time ago.
Ranger David, how did we do? What is a petroglyph?
So petro means rock and glyph means carving. So petroglyphs, which are found really throughout the world, are rock carvings, and they can be on different types of rock. So here at Petroglyph National Monument, we have basalt, which is a type of lava rock, and that's all the petroglyphs are carved into, the basalt lava rock stones. There's lots of petroglyphs throughout the Southwest that are carved into sandstone. Petroglyphs should not be confused with pictographs, which pictographs are paintings on rocks, and there are lots of pictographs throughout the Southwest as well. Usually pictographs only survive in areas that are protected from the elements, caves, or in historic kivas or that sort of thing.
But they're actually painted as opposed to, like, how are petroglyphs made? They're actually etched into the rock?
Carved into the stone. And in our case, with the lava rock develops what we call a desert varnish, like a rust quality that happens to the outside of the rock over thousands of years. So it's a really long geologic process where the outside of the rock becomes very dark. But Native people determined probably thousands of years ago that if they remove that outside rust layer, that outside desert varnish, as we call, they get to the lighter color, the more natural gray color of the rock. And that's what creates the contrast. That's how we're able to see these images. So there's no paint involved at all. The petroglyphs will fade over time, but it takes a long, long time. And here at Petroglyph National Monument, most of our petroglyphs were carved by the ancestral Pueblo people. And most of the petroglyphs were carved between 400 and 700 years ago.
Ranger David, are petroglyphs essentially ancient graffiti?
So that is actually a misnomer. People sometimes think that it was just graffiti. And when I say graffiti, I mean like, you know, writing that was done in a slapdash way. And no one that studies petroglyphs believes that. When you look at our petroglyphs, these images have deep cultural and spiritual significance. And in fact, carving the petroglyphs themselves, it was a lot of time and effort to do that. They were using stone tools. They were fashioning tools that they were finding and making. In many cases, particularly with the more elaborate petroglyphs, they would have been using a hammer stone, so more of just a really hard circular stone. And then they were using a stone chisel, and it would have had kind of a blade on it, a side that was kind of sharp. So they were not done in a very quick fashion.
Are petroglyphs found only in the desert Southwest, or were they found all over the Americas?
You can find them just about everywhere in North America. I was talking about the basalt stones and how they develop that desert varnish, that kind of rust quality, but that actually is found in other rocks as well, like sandstone. And that is kind of peculiar to deserts, but it's found in deserts throughout the world. So you get that desert varnish on the outside. It's really perfect for creating that contrast. So the Southwest is really known for petroglyphs for that reason, having to do with the geology of the area. Desert varnish develops through a cycle of rain and then depositing some soil particles and then getting the beating sun down on it. Kind of bakes it in. So it is a phenomenon that we see in deserts. And because of that, the Southwest is really rich with petroglyphs, but you can find them in other places as well.
I'm curious about touching petroglyphs. It's very tempting to walk up to them and touch them, but I would assume the oils on our hands might damage the petroglyphs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Just simply touching a petroglyph can damage it, and certainly will do in pretty short order. So it doesn't take that many people to touch an image, and oils from your hands will come out and darken those images and make it difficult to see. Just that general wear and tear. These images are very, very old. They're very, very fragile. And they've taken a lot of abuse. Over time, there's just been a lot of vandalism and other damage that have marred the images. So we definitely ask that you don't touch the images and stay on the trails, because we have a big problem with erosion here. And so when people go off trail, they want to get real up close and personal, say with an image, they will unloose some rocks, maybe they'll trample on some brush there, and then that makes it more susceptible to erosion. And then those boulders that have petroglyphs on them can roll down, and that, in addition to being a big safety concern, that of course will prevent us from seeing those images again if the boulder falls down, and we really want to keep everything in its place.
That's Ranger David Ottaviano from Petroglyph National Monument, which is located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the west side of our city. Ranger David, thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Native Roots. Follow along on our playlist and see photos at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. At a secret site in northern New Mexico that is full of ancient petroglyphs. This area is so fragile, and the art is so ancient that only a few people can go at a time. And if you ask, what is a petroglyph?
A petroglyph is an image that's been chipped or incised into the rock, and it becomes an image that we can look for and find.
We see these petroglyphs, and they're on these dark-colored rocks. To describe them for our listeners, you can see pictures at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, petroglyphs. But the petroglyphs themselves are lighter in color. And so exactly why always these dark rocks, and what was the technique to make these petroglyphs?
To make a petroglyph at its, you know, core is you take some harder stone and you hit a softer stone continually until you get through that desert varnish or that patina into the lighter colored rock. But these are made on basalt. And one thing that happens with basalt is what's called desert varnish, or it's a patina that darkens the rock the more it's exposed to the sun and the elements. And so when you have that dark layer on the top and you have still that lighter layer on the bottom, when you peck through that darker layer, you create this incredible contrast. And so if you're wanting something to last a long time, you're going to create that contrast, and it's going to be very visible for quite some time.
We also have a solar marker, or you could call it an equinox marker. You'll see it there. It looks like a spoke. It has a center circle. A shadow from one of the boulders off to the east there will cast a shadow on the upper part of that circle. And then on equinox morning, the shadow will cast above the inner circle. And then the next day, shadow will cast below that circle. And then 3 days after, the shadow will cast below the outer circle.
That's really something.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So why do you think it was important for these petroglyphs to have a sort of relation to the equinoxes?
Very good question. It would be a way to tell time of when to harvest and when to plant.
How long did it take you all to figure out that this was a solstice marker? Or did you just know to come out here on solstice and look right there? Or did someone tell you that?
Most of these boulders have absolutely no shadows on the imagery themselves. And so with that said, you make note of it and say, okay, I'm documenting this, and this was about 2 weeks from the solstice or 2 weeks from the equinox, and I noticed that there is a shadow cast here. You have to keep on coming back to it over and over again, because even if it's not a solstice or an equinox marker, from what my experience is and from what my advisor used to always say is everything carries meaning. And whether or not that's intentional meaning or subconscious meaning, it's still information that is encapsulated in these rocks or in this imagery. It's not just the imagery itself, but where it's placed on the landscape. What direction is it facing? It's much more than just putting an image on a boulder. It's really giving it life.
Looking at all of these petroglyphs, I have to ask, is the techniques that are used to actually make them hard to do?
It really depends. We have a wide variety of petroglyphs here. Some of them are more expediently made, while others, there's a lot of careful detail put into them. And some of them, especially as Sandy was talking about, have markers or they're associated with certain times of the year. You would have to have so much knowledge leading up to that to be able to create it. So saying it's just difficult to create that image, you can say, yeah, anybody can create it. But the amount of knowledge incorporated into it may take years and years before you even hit that rock the first time.
That's Jared Roberts. He's the archaeologist at the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. And we're also with their education coordinator, Sandy Romero, and Judy Chaddock, a volunteer. We have a lot more to learn about petroglyphs. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, an educational nonprofit based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're listener-supported at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. The Arts Alive program on Museum Hill in Santa Fe is free for all ages in June and July. Plan your summer visit at museumhill.net. Do you have an old car, boat, or motorcycle cluttering your yard? Learn how you can turn your unwanted vehicle into Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org.